Now, friends, hear these words from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. And now hear too these words from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. And when they had performed everything according to, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a city of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the voice of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and in my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." The word of the Lord. I want to just thank all the young people, all the children, and all of those who have worked with them to bring the Christmas pageant to us this morning. There's nothing like a Christmas pageant to remind us of the power of the gospel story. And I know it's a lot of hard work, but we really appreciate the way that the children bought that story out. And so let's give our children just another round of applause. Amen. We're reminded by our readings this morning that God has a special place in God's heart for the lowly, for those whose humanity is often marginalized, the hungry, the poor, the captive, all of those who are considered of low degree. Not only does God have a special place in God's heart for those of low estate, but God often uses those that are marginalized to bring God's message of good news and redemption. That has been the story of God's people. God could have chosen the mighty Egyptians to be God's people, but instead God chose the people of Israel, slaves for 400 years deep in the bowels of Egypt. But it was the Israelites that God chose to be the instruments of God's grace and redemption in the story of God. And we are reminded this morning that the values that we heard from the prophet Isaiah, the values that extol the hopes of the poor and the hungry and the captive, are values that are remembered because that was often the plight of Israel. Israel was often held captive by the powerful nations around them. Israel was often the poor and the hungry. Israel was the one nation that was in need of God's grace and that was looking forward to God's deliverance. So when the Bible narrative keeps alive the concern for the poor and the hungry and the imprisoned, it is highlighting the values of Israel and the aspirations and the hopes of Israel, of God's people. Luke continues that narrative emphasis with his story. Luke begins his Christmas story with two women, Mary, a teenage girl who will become pregnant without being married, and her cousin, Elizabeth, an older woman who was barren, without child. In those days, for a woman to be without child meant that she was without a future, and to be without child, to be barren, was to be very much relegated to the margins. And yet, Luke begins his Christmas story with Mary and with Elizabeth. And Mary breaks out in song when she discovers that she will have the Christ child. My soul magnifies the Lord, because she realizes that through the child, redemption will not only come to Israel, but redemption will come for all of those who are waiting and longing for a better world. All of those whose humanity is waiting and longing to be affirmed. And so Mary recognizes that this Christ child will bring that redemption to not only little bitty Israel, little Israel held captive by the mighty Roman Empire, little Israel often hungry, little Israel often poor. She recognizes that in this Christ child, the deliverance not only of Israel will come, but the deliverance for all of those who are waiting and longing for their humanity to be affirmed. We often don't like to highlight that aspect of the tradition in the church, particularly in the American church. We often don't talk very much about that portion of the tradition, the concern, God's concern for the poor and the hungry and the captive. We would prefer to talk about something else. But during the season of Advent, if we don't remember that, then we miss the meaning of Advent. We miss what the waiting and the longing are all about. We miss that emphasis on the waiting and the longing of God's people, and the waiting and the longing for redemption of many, many people around the world. This story, the Advent story, the story of God's people, the story of waiting, is our story too. It's our story this morning. We've often been encouraged in the church that we are to go out as if we have all the answers, that we're to go out to try to fix things, that we have the power to fix things, that we can somehow be the saviors But we are reminded in our particular world today that we ourselves as the church have become more and more marginalized, more and more lowly. We live in a society where we have been relegated to the margins. We live in a society where no one quite listens to what the church has to say anymore. We live in a society where we are besieged on every front. We live in a society where we are no longer invited to the public square. We more and more find our place among the poor and the hungry and the captive. And yet we are reminded this morning that we are the one community and that we are the one body that God continues to use to bear witness, not only that Jesus Christ has already come into this world and redeemed this world, but that Jesus Christ is coming again to reconcile this world to itself. We are the community, small, sometimes confused, dwindling in number, sometimes unsure about ourselves, often humiliated in the press and in our larger culture, and yet we are the community that God has chosen to proclaim the good news of Christ coming into this world. The Bible reminds us that not many of us were chosen from the power ranks of our society. Not many of us are rich and powerful. Not many of us are corporate CEOs. Not many of us are celebrities or military generals. Not many of us are any of those things. But what we are people who have what the Apostle Paul calls this treasure deep down inside of us, the treasure of God's good news. We are called to go forth like the children witnessed to us this morning. We are called to go forth and proclaim that good news in all of our lack of power, in our various weaknesses, in our shortcomings, and yet we have been entrusted with the good news of the gospel, that God loves humanity, that God loves humanity so much that God was even God's self willing to be humiliated on the cross so that we might be exalted and enjoy God's favor forever. We have the good news of God's love, especially for the hungry and for the poor and for the captive. It is the good news that we are called to proclaim, not over the hungry, not over the poor, not over the captive, but alongside with them, alongside of them, as we proclaim the coming of God's reign into our world. In this season of Advent, as we continue to march forward to the Christmas day, let us remember. Let us remember who we are. Let us remember our strength, that it does not reside in what we have. It does not reside in our power. It does not reside in our influence. It resides in the humble message that we proclaim. Our soul magnifies the Lord because the Lord has given us good things. He's given us grace and redemption and mercy in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he calls us to go out into the world and to proclaim that for those and among those who are desperately seeking the good news for their own lives. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us during this season of Advent that we are called to be the light that shines in the midst of the darkness. We are called to be that light not because of what we have, not because we are worthy, not because we are strong, not because we are powerful, but we are called to be that light because you desire that we be like children, that we be willing to go forward, knowing that our lives belong to you, and knowing that your love for this world is so deep that you have redeemed this world through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so as we wait for the coming of Christmas, as we wait for that day when the Christ child comes into our midst, we ask that you help us to not only live that good news, but to go out and to proclaim it. We realize that we live in a world where not only we have become marginalized, but even the good news that you have brought us has become marginalized. We live in a world that does not prefer the Christ child, the humble Christ child born in our midst. We live in a world that prefers the consumerism of this time of year, where the Christmas message has been marginalized. But you have reminded us once again through these children this morning what that true message is. It is the message of your love for us, the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of the little bitty baby born to a virgin, a weak teenage mother. It is through the vehicles of that teenage mother that your grace has shown through. And we ask, Lord, that you help us too to be the vehicles of your grace as we go forward in this Advent season, proclaiming who you are. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.